Yeah, I don't know. We just got to get back to scoring. We just had a game where Cairo had all the points, and I mean, that leaves a sour taste in our mouth, but we want to go out there and score touchdowns for the team, the fans, the organization, which we need to do at any cost, whether it's throwing the ball, running the ball, defensive touchdown. Somebody got to score some touchdowns.
Yeah, man, because it's a talented team, and I think part of the problem or the angst or the multiple meetings that we're talking about is this team knows it's talented, knows it's good, and we know how fast things change in the NFL, and this group of players is not going to be together next year. Keenan Allen is not going to be on this team next year. You're probably going to have different pieces on the offensive line, and I know that's not where we are circling the great talent, but that's the underlying reason for all of the angst from the players, which, Ruthie, I think is essentially a good thing because they care and they know that they're good, and there's this sense of they're wasting it. And she is Ruthie Polinsky. I'm Mark Grody. We're in for Molly and Hall on the Score.
I don't blame them, right, for being frustrated, as you mentioned. And of course, you know what you're capable of, right, when you're a confident, talented player. So it's just kind of, I'm just curious, where is this frustration targeted? And that to me is sort of the big mystery right now of, is it Shane Waldron? Is it Matt Eberflus? Is it Caleb Williams? Is it, you know, where is this frustration being taken out? And that, I think, is what, listen, wins and a good game, everything's better. Like, mm-hmm. everything's fixed, mm-hmm. you know, but those two losses, I think it may have just kind of been a way for DJ Moore and others to release sort of some frustration that was building up even while they were winning.
Yeah.
And so, listen, I think that's the missing piece right now.
Yeah, and they're both games you should have won. I mean, obviously you should have won the Washington game. I mean, that's ridiculous that you lose that game. And then, you know, pound for pound, you are a better roster than Arizona, but you were pants by that, Ted. Yeah. You got whooped by them, no doubt about it. Arizona was way better than the Bears on that day. Let me read you the DJ Moore numbers quickly. Every game to game this year. First game against Tennessee, 5 catches, 36 yards, 0 touchdowns. Houston game, 6 catches, 53 yards, 0 touchdowns. The Indianapolis game, 8 catches, 78 yards, a little better, 0 TDs. The game against Los Angeles, 3 catches, 22 yards, did have a touchdown in that game. There was the Carolina game that Biggs referred to. 5 catches, 105 yards, 2 TDs. Everybody thought, okay, finally, there's mm-hmm. the connection with Caleb Williams. But no, the next week against Jacksonville, 4 catches, 20 yards, 0 touchdowns. Washington game, 2 catches, 27 yards. That was a team against which last year he had 200 yards and dominated, and they couldn't find him. Arizona game this past week, 4 catches for 33 yards. So let's ask DJ Moore, what to you is going on with you and Caleb Williams and your on-the-field chemistry?
I mean, just knowing who we're going against, the one-on-one matchups that we might have throughout the game, and then understanding on the back end the reads and where we at in situations where he's going through the read and how fast I got to be or how slow I got to be to stay in his vision, stuff like that. So, I mean, that's the little details I can think of.
Is there any reason why your connection with Justin was like immediate? As soon as you walk on the field and here it's a little bit arduous?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, just reps. You can say Justin had more reps than when I got here than me and Caleb have. Just him being a rookie quarterback, and Justin wasn't a rookie quarterback last year.
Remember, like, healthy disagreements between Caleb and you and maybe Keenan, like the veteran guys on the team, on how things should be done on an individual play, like him coming from where he is and you guys being veteran players. Is there ever that sort of debate that goes on with you guys?
Yeah, you got a little bit of that, you know, but he might see things differently than we do, which – I mean, everybody does, and we just got to find a happy medium on what routes we want at certain depths and stuff like that, and that's what we're still trying to figure out.
To me, that's the biggest thing, Ruthie. I think that there is this, and I do want to call it healthy, tug of war going on between a world-class quarterback coming into the NFL. Obviously, his merits come from college, but a guy who, and Caleb Williams, who is a winner, who is considered a generational quarterback, who is a Heisman Trophy winner, who has been talked about for the last 2 years. He's got a way of doing things that has been hyper successful. So does DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, and to a lesser extent, Cole Kmet. So I do think that there is this thing, and DJ Moore said it earlier this year, like Caleb getting bossy and we're going to do it Caleb's way. I think that they're still settling that. It's not settled the way they do things, and that's where the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach and any assistant become really important, because they're the ones that have to impose their will and get this thing right.
I know that DJ meant that he and Justin, that Justin had more reps before DJ got here. I know that's what right. he meant by that comparison versus I've had more reps with, I had more reps with Justin than I had with Caleb coming in. That's because that doesn't make sense, right?
Right.
Like they both had one off season together. So I think, but to me, Justin was Justin. Caleb Williams is, you know, as you were mentioning, this highly, he's got things that worked. And I almost wonder, and Justin, I guess, had experience in the system before Luke Getsy, you know, because he was with Luke Getsy that season prior to DJ, right? Yeah. So I think there is, as you mentioned, I think Caleb is maybe trying to have more command over what he likes and what he doesn't like versus what maybe Justin, and maybe that's a personality difference, but it's also like Justin Fields wasn't this highly touted once in a lifetime arm talent coming in. I mean, he was very talented mm-hmm. and athletic and
agreed
of high draft pick, and love Justin Fields. But I'm just saying, I think as Caleb, you know, DJ calling Caleb bossy to me says that he hasn't worked with a quarterback that has maybe expressed his needs as much as Caleb does. Am I calling Caleb Williams high maintenance? Maybe, but guess what? He's allowed to be as the number one overall pick and the guy that is coming in as, you know, as acclaimed and as, you know, celebrated as he already is.
Here's the other thing. Like, we're going to go back to Justin Fields. DJ Moore was it. Like, Darnell Mooney was not working mm-hmm. with Justin Fields. Tyler Scott was a disappointment relative to what we saw him do in training camp last year. Like, his regular season was some of the drops, and subsequently we're not seeing Tyler Scott involved in the offense much at all. But Justin Fields was so happy when DJ was like, oh, finally, I got somebody, mm-hmm. because it didn't work out with Allen Robinson. Who knows? Like, I still want to know more about that fade away from Allen Robinson and the chemistry that didn't exist. Mm-hmm. But that DJ Moore was the guy in that wide receiver room, and he liked that. He liked that a lot. That he was it, man. He was number one with a bullet. Now you come into this season, and you've got DJ Moore, you've got Keenan Allen, you got this guy named Roma Dunze, and you got this guy named Cole Kmet as well, Gerald Everett to a lesser degree, and some of the other receivers as well. I think that there is some difficulty with Caleb Williams trying to make everybody happy. When DJ Moore gets his 100 yards, then the very next week, myself included, we're like, what about Keenan Allen? Where's he? And then he has his two touchdown games. So everybody has had, each of those wide receivers has had a big game, but there is this, it's my turn thing going on. And I'm sure that gets in Caleb Williams' head. And DJ Moore's like, I don't care. I still want mine.
I agree. I hear you. I think DJ Moore is very clearly wide receiver one, right? Like, he has established himself 100%. At the top of that, 100%. All of that.
If he's not the leading receiver by the end of this year,
that's a problem.
It's a problem that the Bears will not be in the playoffs.
So to me, I hear you on the, you know, share the ball and everyone wants their touches, but DJ Moore needs to be the priority. And if DJ Moore is feeling frustrated because he feels like he is not the priority of getting the ball in his hands, then he has some validity. He has some validity in his emotions and feelings toward that.
Yeah, no doubt, man. And that is the wide receiver life. Let's hear now from Caleb. We just heard from DJ Moore on his philosophy on what's going on. Let's hear what Caleb Williams thinks about the issues on the on-field chemistry with DJ Moore.
Yeah, obviously it's not in a place from the past games, a place where we would like it. Both of us It's frustrating because you got a guy so special, and not being able to connect and hit on certain passes is frustrating for myself. And I know it's frustrating for him because as a wide receiver especially, you only get but so many chances, so many times the ball comes your way in a game and things like that. So I wouldn't put it past him that it's frustrating, you know, but we got to figure it out.
Specifically with the one instance the other day where you threw back shoulder and he was still running vertical, what did you guys iron out in terms of what you saw versus what he saw on that play?
I think it comes down to just talking and communicating more. We talk all the time, we laugh and joke all the time and things like that, but I think it, you know, talking a little bit more about and communicating a little bit more about, you know, specifics of you know, ways I see it, ways he see it, ways he's seeing it, and then you know, keep going from there.
Texter says here, Ruthie, that DJ loved having Justin as his This is QB, and I'm going somewhere with this. I know everybody's like, stop talking about Justin. He did because of the experience that he had, as he mentioned, that Justin Fields had been in the league a couple of years already. By the time they were together, he was the ace receiver, without a doubt. Nobody else really needed the ball. I say all this to say I remember talking to DJ Moore last year on the record. And when we were towards the end of the season, when it looked like Justin Fields was on the way out, and there was, you know, the Bears are probably going to draft a quarterback, whomever it might be, one of the things that he said, and he wasn't singling out Caleb, it was a general statement, was no matter, and I'm paraphrasing, no matter who it is, we're going to have to deal with the rookie pains and the development. And he was kind of, and I'm using this word, he didn't, like, I inferred that he was dreading the idea that whoever the quarterback was, that here's this guy, DJ Moore, in his absolute prime, who has been paid, who at this point clearly just wants to win. Like, wants to win and get his numbers along the way. So in other words, DJ Moore knew this was coming. So if we're reading into some of his body language and some of the things that have not looked great, like, I can draw from that public statement that DJ Moore kind of knew that whoever the quarterback was this year, this was what was going to happen.
I think I may have been there that day that you had that conversation. And I think that was also the conversation where DJ Moore said, whoever it is, I'm pretty sure our guy's better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean,
didn't he say
you
that?
Mean in terms of like supporting Justin
Fields,
he's like, right?
Yes. He was in Justin Fields' camp. He was 100%. Team Justin. And of course, like, when he's your quarterback in your locker room, of course you're going to stand by your guy. But that was an interesting, you know, whoever it is, you know. So I think there's this whole, you know, just, I think we all know that the Bears needed to move on. At this point, I think it's pretty clear. Maybe, actually, some people probably disagree with me after the last two games. But I think it's pretty clear. I said this yesterday on the Big Pro Football Show on CHSN.
Sick.
I said, there was no option for Ryan Poles other than to draft Caleb Williams.
Yeah, yes.
This offseason, if he wouldn't have drafted Caleb Williams, he would have been a massacre. I mean, it would have been riots in the street. Like, it would have been chaos based on the uproar and the excitement over Caleb Williams. So I think I hear you, and I kind of just went off on a tangent there. But to bring this all full circle, I think the DJ Moore frustration when it comes to what's happening now, I think when it comes to getting him the ball, he wants to win. This is a guy that wants to win.
Absolutely.
But I think he also knows that the path to winning is putting the ball in my hands.
Yeah.
And we've seen it, right? In all the Bears' big wins last season, DJ Moore was productive.
Right.
So I think that's probably where a lot of the frustration is. It's DJ's like, this is an easy answer, guys. Just give me the ball and mm-hmm. we're good. And so obviously that's a confident player that's saying that. And Caleb Williams, listen, I mean, a lot of our texters are saying Caleb needs to learn how to take the layup, right? He needs to stop. He needs to do less. And I think if he can figure out a way to just find the easy read, throw the ball, get the ball in the hands of your best playmakers, you don't need to be running around and scrambling and take your first read, take the check down, like, see whatever you're seeing and get the ball out of your hands so that you're not taking the hits. And oftentimes that probably is going to be DJ.
Yeah. For the Texans, I'm not letting Caleb off the hook.
Right.
Caleb struggled the last 2 weeks. He's been inaccurate. I mean, he had in the second quarter, that second quarter drive after the 44 yard bomb to Rome Odunze with the defense breaks down, he missed then Rome Odunze, and Keenan Allen both in the back of the end zone, uncharacteristically, like going back to his college film. Like, the inaccuracies have been interesting and a little bit alarming. Here's what he said. Let's listen to what Caleb Williams said about specifically some of the inaccuracies that he's been having this year.
To what do you attribute, if you agree, that there's been some inaccuracy in the last couple of weeks with your game?
Yeah. You're asking what attributes to that?
Yeah. Why have you been inaccurate?
I think partly is been the same page and being able to find ways before, after practice, during practice, to be able to talk over a little bit more, to be able to get those routes ran in practice, to be able to first different coverages and things like that, shells and one highs and cover twos and cover fours and things like that, and how they'll run it, and most likely run it, and you know, the way there's ways that the wide receivers are going to attack the defense, and then I think from there that would help, and then you know, some throws just giving my guys a chance, like the one to DJ down the sideline that I missed slightly out of bounds. Tried to throw him a perfect ball. Instead, you know, give your 7-year, 6-year guy a shot at making a catch.
Ruthie, it's just the same stuff. It's the on-field chemistry. Clearly, these two guys get along. You and I see them hobnobbing in the locker room. There's no issue, like, personally, but they're still trying to figure things out.
Clearly.
Yep.